Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the third podcast of Offline Broadway, and we have an amazing third guest. She is already a huge West End star, and she's literally just getting started. She is performing in shows you may have heard of, such as Rock of Ages, Heathers, and Wicked. It is the fantastic Jodie Steele.
Hey!
How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. Really good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this, and
thank you for having me.
Well, I should be really thanking you, because I'm in such awe, because I saw Heathers last October.
Yay.
And it was absolutely fantastic. So but we'll definitely get into Heathers, because I think that's what most of the listeners here want to know about. But
I'll
just start off with just an opening question, really. What got you into theatre? What's your theatre story?
I'm a bit of a weird one, I guess, because I wasn't really into it when I was younger at all. I actually thought I was going to be a footballer up until the age of 16. And then when I went to QMC, which is a college in Basingstoke, I took the performing arts course because at school people were like, oh, you can sing. And I wanted to be a singer-songwriter. So I was like, right, well, I don't know what to do, so I'll just take performing arts at college. So I did. And I had a wonderful lady called Anne Higgins who ran the course there. And she said to me, Jodie, please audition for drama schools. And I was like, don't be so stupid. but I did. And I was so lucky. I got into so many and I was not expecting it. I chose GSA, but then 2 weeks before I was supposed to start, I actually decided to cancel my place to go to ACM, which is the Academy of Contemporary Music, to pursue my songwriting dream. GSA then rang me like 5 weeks later and said, you know what, if you want to come next year, come, we'll defer your place. We feel really strongly about you and we want you to come. So I think I had that in the back of my head. And then I was like, you know what, I'll give this theatre thing a crack. And it wasn't actually until I went to QMC, I guess, and founded musical theatre, really. I knew what it was, but I didn't know much about it. That I loved it. And then that really was nailed into me at GSA when I was like, I can't believe I ever thought of doing anything else, really. I mean, first and foremost, I want to be an actress. Musical theatre is an incredible part of my life, but it's a shame sometimes that you get put into a box that, oh no, she does musical theatre. Well, actually, no, I'm an actress, full stop, who does musical theatre and other things. But yeah, so that was kind of the story. Guidance and discovering that I loved it quite late on, I would say, not really as a child, but very, very much as a late teenager. So yeah.
So you mentioned how you are, so you do a theatre, but also say like a television and films too. This is a question which you don't have to really answer, but is there one that you prefer doing, theatre or on screen?
No, there's not. There, I love them both for such different reasons. That's the thing. I think with TV, you are nervous because you have so many people around you, and you know you have to create such a real emotion. Be it, you know, sometimes horrendously sad, like on the spot when you're not really feeling very sad. You're just like surrounded by hundreds of cameramen and whoever else is on set. However, if you when you actually produce that and you it's like it's so real, whereas with theatre it's all very heightened, but you have that response of the audience, and to be able to have that connection with so many people night after night is priceless. And you don't obviously get that with TV, but you get to create something so real with TV. So I love both for entirely different reasons.
Yeah, that's true, because there are a lot of stars, because I'm a massive fan of A Modern Family, the American show, and the Jesse Tyler Ferguson, he's on that show, but he also does a Broadway too, and he gave the exact same answer too. So I think there is something fantastic about live theatre that I think television can't really touch, because of that interaction and that audience participation. Because I think even just subtle things, like in Heathers, one of my favourite moments is that Steve moment where you point at one of the audience members in the front row. And it's not like a massive part of the show, but it gets people looking down at the front row, and then someone can like get like a bit embarrassed or something. So I think something like that you just can't get with television whatsoever. So what show are you currently in then? Because I've heard a lot about it.
Rock of Ages
Rock of
playing
Ages.
Sherry.
And how is that going? Oh, one sec, sorry, I Skype frozen.
Oh, sorry, say that again.
How is that going? And is it true you're performing with? Is it Kevin Clifton from Strictly
Yes.
Come Dancing? Wow. So.
Yeah, he's cute. He's really cute. He's a lovely guy. And obviously, this is his first musical theatre job. So he's like a little sponge right now, trying to take in all the information that we're just throwing upon him. But he was like a fish to water, really, you know, because he's a natural performer and he deals with nerves really well and takes direction incredibly well and is an amazing teammate. So he's a joy to be around and he's so sweet. Honestly, like the nicest guy. He's so shy in real life, bless him. He's just like a teddy bear. But yes, Rock of Ages, Sherry, she is a little firecracker, a total badass woman, but also quite naive. So it's nice to not step too far away from Chandler in Heather's, because she's still quite a captivating woman, I would say, and I think Chandler's very much in that realm and so I didn't have to, you know, completely go from one badass to like some sort of wet fish. She's still an incredible woman. She's fierce, she's strong, but she's out of her depth at many points in the show and is learning and is definitely not in control of her situation. Whereas Chandler, I believe, until obviously she's dead, is very much in control. Whereas Sherry's new and very just open to anything that's thrown at her and obviously is discovering a new world in LA. So it's nice to have that difference, but also still be really like sexy and
Funny,
beat Kevin up as well, which is nice.
yeah, because I think that's what I quite like about Heathers. It's to me, it really is, the whole show is literally the mind of a teenager or a high school student. You know, it's that
Yeah.
sort of confidence of candy store, that kind of sadness of saying like a kindergarten boyfriend. And so I think it's fantastic that shows like this are now becoming more and more a popular, because I think a lot of people say that Hamilton really boosted this kind of theatre, like a renaissance in a sense, where it's kind of dealing with more. But the thing is, I never heard of the Heathers film until the show, because I heard of the show first, because it's not that big a film now. It is apparently, but we'll get onto Heathers. Like, I don't want to keep on talk about Heathers because you are in so many things, but is there a certain film or actress that has inspired you to, or is like a big influence on your career?
There are many in musical theatre, but in terms of TV, going right up there. But Kate Hudson, Cameron Diaz, those kind of women who really go for the blonde athletic girls who try to get taken seriously. And actually, sometimes that's quite hard because you can just be seen as a Barbie. And we're not.
Have you ever
We have.
faced like a stereotypes like that whilst
Yes,
doing
yes,
auditions?
yes. I struggled to get seen for straight plays, maybe more meaningful parts. I think when I got to play Zelda in the workshop of Zelda, that was the first time that people in the industry stepped back and said, "Wow, this girl's not just a singer." And that's how I want to be perceived. So females like that who I guess are like me physically and fit my casting bracket, but have reached out. I mean, wanted to say Naomi Campbell, but that's not the Naomi I mean. Who is the Naomi? I mean, it's not coming to me, so it doesn't matter.
I'm coming to me too.
No,
No, it's all right, it's all right.
the
I'm
others.
t Naomi, is there a Naomi what? No. All right. We are gonna find this out, because this will bug me too.
Wait, stay there, stay
Naomi
there.
Watts?
No, I might even have the wrong name. I
Ooh, I
just can't think.
don't
Wait, everybody. Everybody's probably shouting this at their thing. This is really good. Nicole, not Naomi. Nicole
Oh,
Blooming Kidman.
all right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Now that makes all sense. Yes.
Yeah, Nicole
Definitely.
Kidman, because I think just when she started out, I can imagine when she was younger, she probably got, you know, put in that kind of bracket as, oh yeah, she'll play those there's pretty weak feminine parts, and damn, has she proved that she's more than that. You know, anyone who's played Tomb Raider is an inspiration to me as well. That's the kind of, that's where I want to be sat, you know, not always seen as this blonde, curly girl, you know. I hate being called a girl. I know I am one, but like, that's, you know, there's more to us, and I think I have more to give, and more strength to show, more weaknesses to show, and roles and experiences. And I just think that any actress that, you know, they're typically seen as being that kind of, oh yeah, she's really good looking and she's an actress. No. Wait. What is she actually giving to these movies and these parts and these stories? So yeah, there are many actresses. I mean, of course, people like Judi Dench, etc., they're going to be inspirations to all of us. Definitely. And if they're not, then that's wrong. Glenn Close, you know, all of them, there's a massive selection of them that we have been lucky enough to learn from and watch since we were born, you know. But for me, now present in theatre, Keri Ellis has always been a huge inspiration. Rachel Tucker, who's also a dear friend of mine, huge inspiration. And when I got to do her one-woman show with her as a backing vocalist, it was amazing. Like, just to watch how she golfed the stage up.
Yeah.
And, you know, she just was in control of everything around her and had the audience just right there, exactly where she wanted them, and had them feeling exactly how she wanted them to feel. And I think... watching her at the Watson Stage Awards when she performed the song from Come From Away, I just was crying. Makeup was streaming down my face, because I just think she's a powerhouse, and the way she controls her performance, the stage, the audience, everything is incredible. But yeah, there's loads. Lou Dearman, Emma Hatton, who taught me everything I needed to know for Elphaba, like... Jackie Hughes, who was my Elphaba when I was standby for her, like, just all these women who are, you know, around me, for me to watch, for me to be inspired by, for me to work alongside. It's an honor, and I want to do nothing but learn from them and grow by working alongside them. And yeah, just there's loads.
I think that's so inspirational, because I think, especially in theatre, there's such an opportunity to push the boundaries on your stereotypes. And there are so many shows now that just push boundaries. Even, say, in your case, Wicked, playing Elphaba, that's not a blonde bimbo character whatsoever. So
I think, actually, if you look at me, you'd probably think, oh, she's a Glinda. But I was not.
No, because that's the thing, and there's so many opportunities for and different characters and different shows that anyone could literally play just any role, and I think that's what's fantastic. And I think, especially now, diversity is such an important thing, and it is being pushed so much, and as it should be.
You know, definitely. So,
I was discussing with a previous guest about even, like, say, the Marvel films, how Captain Marvel has just come out, and that was the first female. Like, we've had almost 12 years of these films now, and only last year we had the first black superhero film,
and this year
the first female. So I think it is
important to talk about. Yeah, and she's the best. She's the most powerful.
Oh yeah, I absolutely love that film. Absolutely fantastic. So have you seen that one?
I had.
What do you think of it?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
I watched it last weekend.
What do you think?
I lost my shit. At the end when she don't want to give too much away. Oh god, I'm knocking things over. I don't want to give too much away in case people haven't seen it yet, but it's just, you know, it's been as you have, you know, the bit I mean, when she comes out with full power and she's you just sit there and you're like, how is anyone gonna stop her? How's anyone ever gonna, how it's can anyone
fantastic. I mean, but have you seen the like the sexist, like, comments on this film and how people have like tried to make it a failure and all this? Like, people, they've been rating it lower and lower, like on IMDb, on purpose, just because she's a female. Even Wonder Woman had such, like, a backlash before it actually came out, and that was a fantastic film.
I just don't pay attention to it, but how?
Well, no, because it isn't even reported on, really, but so and that's the issue. But
that's mental, isn't it? What a shame.
Yes, I know, definitely. But
and do you know that she filmed Wonder Woman pregnant?
Yeah, she did.
Like,
I was fantastic.
Ain't no man that can do that.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Exactly. Yeah. You're absolutely right. We also have a fan questions too. People have messaged me with some questions for you, so we'll be talking about them soon. The first one we have: what is your dream role?
In theatre.
Well, it doesn't say so. You can choose either.
I would love to play Tomb Raider in a film one day.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I could definitely see that.
In theatre, Glinda and Molly in Ghost.
Wow! Wow! Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
idea. Yeah, and I don't know whether it'll ever do another major production, but I know it's on tour at the moment. But if it does ever come back again, because it's something that's really close to my heart, the story. And when she walked out on stage with her curly blonde hair and her dungarees, here I am, being the stereo curly blonde again. Even though I know that the gorgeous Becky Lones is playing her right now with the more TV-styled hair, the short brown. But when I just saw... now, here's a question. Cassie or Casey Levy? Casey, Cassie. Casey, Cassie. Some people say Casey. Some people say Cassie Levy.
Is it spelled C-A-S-S-I-I-E?
Yeah.
Then it's Cassie for me.
Well, that's what I would say. But someone the other day was like, no, it's Casey. I was like, what? Anyway, Cassie Levy. Thank you very much. That is what I would say. I watched her play Molly in the West End. Another idol of mine, even though here I am saying that I don't know how to pronounce her name, but I've been saying Cassie forever, and then someone said it was not that, and I was horrified.
I say Cassie. I stand with you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, me too. I saw her come out in her dungarees and her trainers, and I was already so looking forward to seeing the story on stage, and then just to see her do it, and With You is one of the most gorgeous songs ever. I was like, oh my God, I need to play that one day. So that is high, high, high on my list if the opportunity ever arises. Well,
I can definitely see that. Yeah. So everyone keep an eye out, because I honestly, I think we'll answer some more questions after from fans. I think, would you mind if we delve into like the Heather's section now?
Because
I think
do it.
This is such a big part of it, and so I'll tell you, I saw Heather's in October because I adore Carrie Hope Fletcher. I followed her on a YouTube for years, and I've never seen it in anything. And then so I came up to a London and I was ready to see her, and then she tweeted that she was ill on the day.
I was so let down.
I was like, oh no, this is she's such an inspiration to so many girls and women. I think even her latest post on Instagram about body positivity, I find really, really inspirational. So I was really looking forward to seeing it. I was so let down, but then it was Olivia Moore who was her understudy. I was blown away by her performance. Wow, like she was fantastic as Flunky. Yes. Even though I was really let down, all of that kind of went away by her performance, because it was absolutely fantastic. And I mean, I think your character has the best line in all of theatre.
Jimmy felt me gently with a chase.
Yes, that is the best line. Like, because I hadn't heard that other line until I saw it, and I was like, oh my, like, I was in tears. That's the best line ever. Because, but I think it was absolutely brilliant. So what for you was it like to perform in Heather's, and how did you get that role as Heather Chandler?
So we actually auditioned by self-tape, which is rare, very rare for a musical. But they were the American team, obviously in America. So we had to self-tape. And I was actually meant to be doing Into the Woods at the time as Rapunzel at the cockpit with my beautiful friend Tim MacArthur directing. And I had already started rehearsals, but we'd sent the self-tape off prior to that, and I thought I had no chance. And then I got the phone call and I was like, what? And now my boyfriend Liam Doyle actually did the workshop for it at the other palace, and said to me, and I was in China, I believe, at the time with Wicked, and he said, Jode, honestly, you've never seen anything like it, like the reaction it gets. And I was like, yeah, all right. So when I got it, like, I didn't know or expect what happened. I knew I was really excited just to do an original show, even though it was at the other palace, which technically you wouldn't say was an original West End cast. Yeah, for whatever reason, it's not affiliated as that, which is stupid, really, because I think the other palace kicks out some of the best productions that we see now, because it's just so fresh and new. Do you know what I mean? They create some incredible material or put on incredible material. They allow a platform for new musicals and plays, etc. So I was excited just to go back to the other palace, because my last job was there with a musical called Myth, written by my gorgeous friend Sam. And so to go back there was great. And I knew from my boyfriend that Heather's was crazy fan base. And I was like, oh, this is going to be really cool and exciting. And I just didn't expect to get it, because I knew I was up against some pretty big names. And I also couldn't wait to work with Larry O'Keefe. I mean, hello. Like, I'd done Legally Blonde. I played Margot in Coverdale and Brooke. So that was another incredible thing to be excited about. And Andy Fickman is like Hollywood dream. And Kevin, I mean, he wrote, is one of the writers of Desperate Housewives, for God's sake. So like, like, you can only imagine how I felt.
Whole different world.
Yeah. So I was just so excited to work with the team. And actually, when I found out that Carrie was going to be Veronica, although I think that was announced ages before I knew I was going to play Chandler, when I knew that I was going to be working with her, I was so buzzed, because you're right, she's an inspiration and she's an incredible woman, and I could not wait to work with her. And I messaged her like, oh my God, like, and we hit it off straight away as friends, and she's incredible. She's a powerhouse, and I learned so much from her. The girl's a machine, honestly. So, and also the rest of me, my Heathers, my girls, Sophie and T, like.
They were, I think it's such an iconic trio. Like, especially because I've seen the a bootleg of the off-Broadway version, and that was brilliant. But I think there was, it's Sophie Isaacs and Chan Williams, yeah? I think you three were, it was so good. The chemistry and just the humour of it was fantastic. So
it was very special. It's something that will always be very close to my heart, and I will hold on to it for as long as I live, just remembering what it was like to as if I was the red one. But yeah, I mean, it's and now I have this incredible little mini fan base like following me on social media, and I can't express how like mental that is for someone like me, and how grateful I am like that these people are interested in what I'm up to. And you know, be it down to Heather Chandler, then thank you, Chandler girl, for allowing me that platform, because the part is so well written, and I think anyone could do it, really. Yeah.
I disagree with that. There's something. Yours is my favorite iteration of it, because I think in Candy Store, your solo part after you say a shut up, Heather, your. That was like, because I first heard you do that on West End Live.
Oh yeah.
I was like, wow, okay, that is, you can sing like that was so. No, yeah. It's like, not everyone can. I can do. I can do it. So there you go. There's one person off.
Well, so, no, I think it's just, you know, really, I guess you could say that Chandler, yes, she does sing, but it's not really a heavily sung part. It's much more about presence she brings on stage, because obviously for quite most of the musical I'm dead, well, she's dead, not me, I'm not actually Chandler, but so
you're
it's
a method actress yet.
Yeah, I think it's a real presence about the actress that plays her, and comedic timing is a must, I think. But yeah, it was a gift to play her, and she will forever be a part of me. That little bitch.
Yeah. I know she's horrible character. Not yeah. you, but she's a character. It's just oh wow. But there's something likable about that horribleness because, you know, she is that typical popular girl that's just vicious. And but I think the story is fantastic where it isn't just a stereotypical boy meets girl in high school and there's the bully and that's it. I think it's also very dark in some parts, but I think it's really the West End Cast album came out last month. Yes, and I was so excited because I Say No came out first as like the first teaser, and then it was
17
yeah. I Say No, like that's a banger that is. But
it is, yeah.
How is it for you of recording that Cast album, and when did you know that was gonna happen?
Well, it was kind of getting floated around as a rumor because Andy was like, hey guys, this is my friend from Warner Brothers, and we were all like, what? Obviously you all rush back to your dressing room like, are we gonna perform an album? And then it was announced that we were, but you know, the week we did it was the one time that I actually had to go off sick because I was so run down. I actually taught alongside Heathers. So I would teach in the daytime and do Heathers at night. I was a bit knackered and probably run myself into the ground. I tend to do this all the time. I teach now as well alongside Rock of Ages.
Is it just a drama?
I actually do workshops at the moment up and down the country. Heather's workshops, Rock of Ages workshops, Wicked workshops. But when I was at Heather's, I work at a place called Rosie Thompson's Dance Academy. And I'm still a teacher there, obviously, but I can't at the moment. But so I was knackered anyway. And I was sick the week we recorded the album, and we were getting up. Well, for me, I live in Basingstoke, so I have to commute. And so I had to be up at 6 in order to get to the studio in time. And this is off the back of doing shows at night and commuting back. And my voice, I was like, my God. So actually, I was nervous about how it was going to sound. Like, really nervous. I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to be like, ah, she's terrible. She sounded better in the shows. And luckily, It sounded all right.
It sounds brilliant. It really does. I still listen to it now.
Yeah,
I've been listening to for like this whole month because it's brilliant. Sorry,
I was so excited to hear it, but like, for me, you know, again, like I said, Chandler, it's not a heavy thing really. So I was more just looking forward to listening and reminiscing.
Yeah.
Like, and I listened to it on a car journey up to one of the tour destinations for Rock of Ages. And it made me so emotional, like just hearing, because I've listened to the American album so many times, and to then listen to our version and hear all those voices that I'm so used to hearing.
What must that be like? Because I've always wanted, because I study music, but I've never like, because I'm not a vocalist. So what must that be like hearing your voice on an album that's on Spotify, that's on iTunes, that's in the charts? What does that feel like?
Pretty epic. I mean, listen, I've done a lot of recording in my life because, like I said, I do kind of sing songwriting stuff, and I've put music out before, not to sell, but free downloads of stuff, and so I was used to that. I am used to having that.
Where can we find those songs?
My SoundCloud. I've got three different covers on that. I mean, this, we're talking, it's updated last in 2016, but it's still there. It still exists. I think the link might be on my Instagram page. Let me check.
Yeah, guys, just quickly go follow Jody on Instagram. That's very important too.
Go
love your stories too. Your Instagram stories, your little updates. I think they're great.
I love
this evening. It's like you have the
Hold a minute.
The hard R that you have.
Oh yeah. I need to work on this. Hold on, I'll put you on my story now. Here we go.
I might do the same too. Actually, one second.
Wait, hello.
Hey.
Just doing a podcast here. I should tag. What have you got Instagram for the podcast?
Yes, yeah. Offline Broadway. That's just the tag.
I'll
there. Tag
it.
Yes, I'm gonna put you on mine now. Oh my God, I'm famous. I'm on Jody's point. Oh my God.
Offline Broad. Is it this funky one? Oh, you can't see. It is just offline Broadway, yeah?
Yeah, that should be it.
Here we go. You're on my Instagram.
Oh my God. Guys, I'm famous.
What were we talking about? I've trailed off.
The cast album.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No, SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, actually, that's so, yes.
If you go onto my Insta, which is at Jodie Sam Steele, you can go onto my website, which is www.jodiesteele.com. And when you go on there, there is a link on there to my SoundCloud. But it's just, I have created and written so much music that has never been heard because, luckily, touch wood, I am always so busy. Yeah. But it is something that I will continue and I will grow with in the future. I'll go down that route a lot more than I am able to now because it's something I'm so passionate about. I love writing songs. Like I can sit with a pen and pad, my friend Matt Knowlton will vouch for me, and come up with a song in like 10 minutes. Like it's just something that I've always been able to do since I was tiny. So I am used to hearing myself on a recording, say, but in terms of the scale of Heather's, nah. not used to that. Yeah. Not used to it getting in the charts, like the actual official charts.
Oh, there was so much hype for it because on my Facebook page, there are loads of other Heather's fans on there. And I just put out a post saying who's excited for this album, and there were so many like me. I'm still waiting for it to come out. I've already pre-ordered. Like,
yeah,
there was so much buzz for it.
Oh, they really hammed that up, didn't they? We were all thinking it was gonna be out before Christmas. Then there was a rumor it was gonna be first week of January.
But the thing is, though, I think there must have been on every single post that you've ever put, because I noticed on Carrie Fletcher's post, every single comment was when's the album coming out? When's the album? So, sorry, I'm trying to get words out here.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Were you like kind of just like constantly being asked when is it coming out, or do you have like any updates? Like,
yes, I was constantly being asked, especially when I went to workshops and stuff, or I was doing something publicly. Like people would be like, "When's the album?" I'd be like, "I just don't know."
They don't tell it, like the music industry. They will not tell you. Like no one knows. No one knows
apart from those producers, that record company. Like no one knows.
The men in suits know. Don't ask me.
I think we actually got told. It was like the night before or something, or two nights. I can't remember. Yeah, we got it sent to us literally two nights or a night before it came out. We knew it was coming out on the 1st of March, but only like a week before. So we were just as in the dark as all of you. Mm. In fact, when it was announced it was coming out, that's when we found out.
Yes, you found out at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic album, and I do like the... Because I was also quite nervous that it would be kind of a duplicate of the off-Broadway album, but it isn't. The instrumentation is so much different, and it's
even the speed. It's like the speed of Candy Store. Ours is a lot quicker.
Like I think so. It's actually refreshed the entire show, and the three songs added to it. You're Welcome, which is, you could argue, is a replacement for Blue.
Oh no, it definitely is.
Some of my friends who are Heather fans, they're like, no, they just love Blue. They just refuse. It's not a replacement. Blue isn't there.
No, a lot of people love Blue. It's a great song. I think there was just there were many reasons as to why it was changed.
Yeah.
And I think in our show particularly, You're Welcome just sat so much better, especially with our boys Dom and Chris.
They were so funny.
Yeah, I think it was just, it just fitted better for us, and obviously it wasn't written for our cast, but you know, you could argue that there would always be the option to go back to Blue, but they definitely stuck with You're Welcome, and I think that definitely worked well with where our show was.
I actually prefer it because I think there's more of how Veronica is actually feeling in this terrible situation, because whereas Blue, it's just, well, the two jocks. So but also Never Shut Up Again. Mm-hmm. I love that song so much.
It's my favorite.
Shan Williams, she's got a voice. Oh my God. Yeah. I get goosebumps up with that one.
Yeah.
And then I Say No. Oh, I love Carrie Fletcher so much. She's her voice. Oh my God. I will see her in something one day. I will. So this actually leads on to
She's doing Les Mis, so go to
I need to see Les Mis.
Yeah, if you've never seen that, she's going to be Fontaine in the 16-week run at the Guildford Theatre.
Yeah, so. Isn't she performing with? Is it Michael Ball and who else is in it?
John Owen Jones is also alternating a role, I think. And Alfie Bo.
Like, see, that's a big, that is a big cast. So I think, when is that coming? Do you know?
Yeah, it's been announced. I can't remember that off the top of my head, though.
Oh, we'll get tickets for that. Absolutely. Yeah. So is Heather's going on tour?
Well, apparently, yes. But honestly, like, me and Jay, Jamie Moscato, were on the carpet for the What's on Stage Awards, and Luce Jones, bless her, a really good friend of mine, was like, so Paul's just told us, we were live, and she was like, Paul's just told us that Heather's is coming back. We were both like, is it? I think the thing is, actually, I've had a lot of messages being like, so why are you doing the next one? And I'm like, God, I don't think people realise how the cast are not part of producing something. Yeah. And so, you know, we will probably be the last to know. I don't know any ins and outs of if it is 100% happening again, but I'm pretty sure Paul, again, another incredibly dear friend of mine, sticks to his word, he makes things happen.
And is it the same cast that's meant to be returning? Is it the
who same knows? Cast? Who knows? Honestly, there is nothing being confirmed. We have been told absolutely nothing. I think it just Paul will make sure that it does happen again. But obviously the nature of these industries, like, most of Heather's cast right now are in other jobs.
That's the thing.
And, you know, I won't say whether I will or will not return, because I don't know where I'm going to be when it does happen. And also there's this sense, for me personally, I feel it was something so wonderful, so precious, so unique. Do I want to repeat that with the fear that it may not be the same thing again, because it will be again, it's not the first time.
I totally understand, yeah.
Whereas this, what had happened with Heather's for me before was always the first time. And I think there's always that fear of doing something again, that you're looking for the same feeling you had the first time. And I don't know whether I should pocket it and lock it as it was and have it there in my heart, or whether I should put my foot down and be like, nah, I'm Heather Chandler, so get me my red blazer.
The thing is, I know what I feel, and I know what thousands of others will also think is you coming back. But I think you are right, though. It is your career, and I think, because I totally know of what it's like to have something that was like very special, and then if you have a chance to actually go back to it with that ruse. So I do totally understand that. So is there anything coming up, any shows that you might be in that we should be looking forward to, or can't you say?
Listen, if I knew what was coming after August, I would tell you if I was allowed to. I don't know. I've had a lot of discussions with my agent about certain directions that I'd like to go, which could possibly mean not being a working actress, as it was, someone in a contract, as much as I have been said in the past, because I want to be quite specific with what I do. I love new material, and quite often working on new material means you do a lot smaller scale shows or workshops, which sometimes never get shown to the public. I'd really like to delve more into TV, plays, film, short film, all that.
Any genres in a specific that you want to dive into?
I would love to be in a cop drama as the person who is the baddie. I have an odd obsession with playing like psychos.
I think the villain is much more interesting than the, than the hero.
Like, I was obsessed with the part of JD. I was like, I wish I could play this, because I just think getting to play parts like that is just so testing on yourself as a human and as a performer and artist, like, to try and delve into that world and how those humans go so wrong, you know, like, anything like that, for me, playing the baddies is always way up there at the top over playing the princessy part. Anything real and gritty, anything that I think, for me personally, things that I'm scared of as a human being are the things that I want to delve into as a performer.
Yeah.
So that's why I quite like playing the baddies. I want to do some really gritty dramas and, yeah. Sorry, gritty. Said that wrong there. See that? Gritty. That's my weak R coming through. Gritty art. Gritty dramas.
Yeah, I
gritty
watched that. So what has someone said about your pronunciation of R? What is it?
I had a pretty cool meeting today, which I won't talk about. But just something that I'm working on and trying to get into at the moment. And we were working on some stuff, and this incredible lady who had a meeting with was like, you need to get rid of your weak R's. And I was like, what? I actually knew I had a weak R, but I didn't know how intense it was. And now she's giving me the exercises, and I was doing it all the way home, and I was like, this is so hard. So, like I said, call me out. Call me out on it, if you. Yeah, so I need to work on
that. I haven't noticed
it
yet, so you're
all fine. I've noticed it. Even hear it. You can't say hear it. You've got to be like, hear it. Hear, and you have to curl your tongue back to create the R. There you go.
it's a lot of work being a bassist. Like, you know nothing. You're told everything the last minute.
Yeah.
And wow, but I think... Oh. Honestly, I think you are just getting started. I did say that at the start of this podcast, but I can't wait to actually see where you go. And I think Fingers after crossed. Seeing you, I think because I first saw you on West End Live, I watched it on YouTube, and I was like, wow. So I can't wait to actually follow where you go. We got another question from someone who messaged, and this is from Beth. This is actually my good friend, Beth. She studies drama. And she had a question. If you don't do any dance, would this hinder your chances on being in the on stage?
No and yes. Because there are many shows, aka Les Mis, that do not involve dancing. There were characters in Heathers, Jamie Muscati does not like to dance. But he can do steps if he's asked, you know. And there are many people who I work with who are like that. They tend to be leads, not ensemble. As you know, ensemble are some of the hardest. Any ensemble, any show, make what the show is, and they more often than not dance. And also starting out, I think, you know, some people are lucky enough to start out and start playing leads, but most, I think, you work your way up. Which is probably the most respectful way to become a lead, I would say. Not every way, but I guess if you want to see it like that. And so to be a cover, you more often than not have to dance or move. And for some shows, you don't have to dance at all. So those will be open to her. But obviously, if she does not like to dance full stop or cannot dance full stop, you're going to be crossing off a lot of shows on your list to be able to be a part of. So I think if she's on a course that does not dance, it doesn't matter, because A, you can just go down that path of, hey, I'm not a dancer, but I can sing and act and I can perform. And if you need me to move, I'll pick it up, right? Or you can get your toolbox out. This is what I was taught. As an actor, the bigger your toolbox, the more full it is, the better. And I really honed in on that. That was a terrible art. I really honed in on that in third year at GSA. I can't remember who it was that said to me, but I've always took that that method of looking at our bodies as toolboxes. And the more skill sets you have, the wider the job opportunities, you know. So if she could go to classes outside of her course and have that as a personal development alongside what she's training in the educational way, then why not do that? And just instead of closing that door completely, I'm not saying you have to be like triple pirouette, layout, suicide drop, but definitely good to A, get your fitness up, because no matter what show you're in, if it's musical theatre, singing in shows requires good fitness and good health. So taking part in that dance or movement class outside of whatever course she's doing will only benefit her. So I think that's probably the advice I'd give her. But by all means, if she really does not like to dance, then nope, it does not mean you cannot be a West End performer. It just helps broaden the horizon. Oh, and now I've just took my head out. Broaden the horizon. I speak with my hands, but I have to remember that I do not have headless wireless headphones on. So that's my advice to her. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So I think that's a real actor thing, just knocking down the camera.
Yeah, I know. Hands everywhere. Yeah.
I think we have one more question from our listeners. This is from Amy. What advice do you have from someone who has changed from science to theatre?
Oh, wow.
So, well, which is a very big, just sudden, like that's a complete 180.
The thing is, there are so many questions I'd like to answer, like, how old are you? What is this at college? Is this at school? Is this at university level?
I know.
Have you done a university degree in science and now doing a... Because the thing is, I think there are a lot of people in the industry. I know a doctor. I know an accountant. I know lawyers, policemen who have done things and then gone on to do an MA course. There is an MA course available at most drama schools. There is at GSA as well. It's an incredible course and it's a year. And that enables you to have trained up in whichever field you have done before and then get those skills in and that qualification you need from those affiliated drama schools in your pocket. So you can do both.
Yeah.
It's hard and it takes time. And obviously that means you'll be coming into the industry at perhaps a later age than the average age that people join, which tends to be 21 as an average, because most people start at 18. Obviously lanes, places like that, you can go at 16.
But even before that, most people will be doing drama since primary school and stuff like that. So
exactly, yeah. So I did she say what advice do you have for someone? Yes,
just from someone who's like starting from the very bottom.
My love, I would say I started from the very bottom at 17 and I worked my butt so hard that I was at the top. By the time I was the top of my game by the time I left GSA. Anyone in my year will tell you I was a total geek. I stayed late for extra classes all the time. Anytime I had a free period, I filled it with extra classes. I worked my butt off and I was surrounded by incredible peers in my year who taught me so much. And I love every single person that was in my year. I was definitely the underdog, and I'm definitely not saying that I'm anything but that now, but I think I earned my my stripes, as it were, because of how hard I worked, because I knew I was behind when I started. So I say that's my advice to you. It doesn't matter what age you start, particularly if you want to mainly be an actor or actress. Hey, look at your TVs. It's middle age more than anything on an average. I mean, of course, there's people from newly born to on their deathbed of old age. You know, every age you can possibly that's a stupid thing to say. Any age is on the TV. But
I understand.
Predominantly, you watch in middle age actors or actresses. Yeah. So I think, hey, it depends how much you want it and depends how hard you're willing to work. Doesn't matter what you did before. All that matters is what you do now.
I think that's fantastic advice. Yeah, definitely. I got to say, thank you so much for coming on. Is there any closing statement that you would like to make to any, because all of our theatre fans are listening?
Oh God!
That is a big one. I don't want to put that much pressure on you.
No, I tell you what, I want to say thank you. To any person who even sees me in a show, buys a ticket to see me in a show or a concert or asks what I'm up to or follows me on any social media platform, thank you, because I really, truly am just a girl from Basingstoke, little bit like, all right, darling, who has tried to turn herself into an actress that will hopefully work her way up in the industry. All I want to do is tell stories and have people feel something from them. And so to anyone who's ever watched me or will watch me, thank you, because it is the support that we all need. And without the audience, be it on a TV screen or on YouTube or on the radio or at the theatre, it's nothing. So, yeah, just one big massive thank you, really.
Thank you so much for coming onto this podcast. I'm so grateful. You are like, you're the first theatre star to come on here, and you've opened so many doors for me now to now get more theatre stars on here. So I honestly am so grateful that you've helped me do this.
No, don't be silly.
I'm just starting out, and it is a slow process making a podcast. Cause like on the first one, I said like every other word, so I'm working on that, and I'm
trying. Well, I forgot who Nicole Kidman was. I was going, what did I say? What did I say her name was?
Naomi.
Naomi.
We were like, which one was it?
Nicole Kidman.
We got there.
The Other is one of my favourite films because I was quite young when I watched it, and it blew my mind with the twist. If you haven't seen it, please see it. The Others. She immediately became an actress that I aspired to be like, and here I am today not remembering her name. So don't worry about saying like,
cause you are a very, very busy person. You are so excused. Like you must be so tired all the time, and I'm so thankful that you've taken an hour out of your busy schedule to have a talk with
me. Thank you
so much. Do you want to plug your social media?
Why not? So
You're big enough anyway. You don't need my help.
Instagram is at Jodie Sam Steele. Jodie's spelled with an IE, and Steele is STWLE. And I believe it's the same on Twitter as well. Let me just have a look at that.
Definitely Jodie on.
I'm Jodie Samantha Steele. So.
Oh, brilliant. Because her Instagram stories are brilliant and inspirational too, I think, especially with just drama and fitness. Definitely.
Oh yeah, I love the gym.
I try and stay with it.
Listen, and the thing is, sometimes I think there's a lot of stigma around pushing that kind of obsessive gym nature, and it's not. I guess it is a part of my life massively, but the role I'm playing right now requires me to be like that. And I've kind of been brought up with a very fitness-based family, so it's just something that I love. But I will say this till I'm blue in the face: it doesn't matter what you look like or what your body is like, it just does not matter. All that matters is your health. And so I think sometimes being fit helps, but that doesn't mean that determines how you look. It's your body, how it is in health and how it is in fitness and how you look after it. So I just want to get that out there, because I don't want people to think, oh man, all she has is in the gym. Like that's my journey, but that does not have to be. Oh my god, I did it again with the headphones because I keep wavering my hands around. That's my journey. It doesn't have to be yours, but if I inspire you to look after your body in any way, shape or form, then that's great for me. All that matters is that you're happy and healthy, really. That is the aim.
Absolutely. I think it's very important. So thank you so much, and I cannot wait to see where you go on the stage and on the screen. Oh, I bet you can't wait, especially. Yeah.
So
And make sure to follow Offline Broadway on Instagram and Facebook, and Geek Chat at It's a Geek Chat, because Geek Chat was taken. Thank you so much, everyone, and I will see you next time on the next episode of Offline Broadway.
Thank you. Bye.